Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. In this episode, my best friend in the world and Inner Circle co-coach, Susan Niebergall, joins me, and we talk a lot about whether or not you should transfer into maintenance. Mainly, we speak about why you should, especially if you've been struggling with the last 2 pounds, 4 pounds, 6 pounds, 8 pounds, 10 pounds, whatever it is. If you're struggling and dragging your body over glass to try and just reach those last few pounds so you can reach your goal weight, but you're having difficulty with it, please listen to this whole podcast. We talk a lot about everything you need to know about transferring into a maintenance phase so you can then lose more fat and be happier and more comfortable and confident in your body. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Talk to you soon. Susan.
Jordan.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Glad to have you here in New York.
Always good to be here.
Getting ready for the March 2020 Inner Circle Edition.
March 2020.
Just announced the winners of the second calorie cycling challenge.
Weren't they amazing?
Yeah. Oh my God. That was incredible.
That really was incredible. It was such a long process to go through everybody's, but what great stories.
Just to give everyone some background, Susan and I decided we were going to pick three winners for the calorie cycling challenge. We're going to pick three winners, and each winner would get $1,000. But going through all of the submissions, it was impossible to
literally pick three. Impossible.
And the way that we pick the winners, it has nothing to do with, I shouldn't say it has nothing to do. It has very little to do with the pictures and far more to do with the written submissions. And one of the main reasons I say it doesn't have anything, it has a little to do with the pictures, is because sometimes we'll get people who clearly photoshopped their pictures. Mm-hmm. So we do look at the pictures because we have to see if they're actually legitimate. But the stories, the written testimonials, the 500-word submissions that participants write to us to explain not only what they learned and what they went through, but also how they're going to adjust moving forward, is really what we analyze and what we are most excited about. So instead of picking three winners, we ended up choosing 11 winners, and it's not $11,000.
No, no.
So three $1,000 winners, three $100 winners, and then what is it? Four or five free months in the Inner Circle as well. So yeah, congratulations to all the winners from that. And Susan, how are you doing? How's your time in New York so far?
It's been great. This has been a great trip.
Good trip.
Yeah, really, really, really good trip. Extended it a little bit, which is nice.
Yeah,
this has worked out very well. And I'm going to be coming back in a couple weeks.
Yeah, for the next edition. Yeah.
So
before, actually, you know, we'll just dive right in. Before we hopped on, we were talking about what did we want to discuss today. And one of the things that you brought up that I think is a really important topic is basically the person who, maybe they're 2 pounds away, maybe they're 5 pounds away, maybe they're 10 pounds away from achieving their quote-unquote goal. And they are just killing themselves. Talk about that. Like, talk about either that person's mentality and your thoughts on it.
Look, I always hear from people that are in that boat that they are trying to lose the last couple fractional pounds or whatever to reach that goal, mm-hmm. that number goal. And they're continuously in a deficit, and maybe have even lowered it slightly just to get those last 2 pounds or whatever, and they're miserable. They're absolutely miserable, and they're frustrated because they're like, it's 2 pounds, why can't I get 2 pounds? And they're killing themselves over what amounts to a water fluctuation, you know, on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm. and putting themselves through hell, basically, for no real reason. And so I was thinking maybe we should talk about another option for those people, because
yeah.
I think it's super important, and it's not something that they ever want to hear, which is so fascinating. No one ever wants to hear, maybe you should go into maintenance.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like,
you know what's really interesting to me about that is they're just absolutely dragging themselves across glass in order to achieve this goal weight, right?
Yeah.
And it's almost as if, well, okay, let's say in a week you hit that goal weight, and next Tuesday you end up stepping on the scale and you hit that number. Now what? Like, number one is, how is your life any better?
Yeah.
Now that the scale has told you you've hit that goal. Number two is, what's going to happen when you step on the scale the next day and it fluctuates up?
And do you have an exit plan? Like, Okay, so you hit the number. So now what do you do?
Right.
You can't keep going the way you're going because you're going to keep losing weight.
That's exactly right.
So they haven't thought through that. They want to hit that number because for some reason in their head, in fantasy land, when they do, the skies are going to open up, the sun's going to come out, and people are going to sing, and it's going to be magical, and it's going to be like everything, their life is now complete.
I have literally never met a single person, not one, out of doing this for over a decade now, who has achieved their quote-unquote goal weight and looked exactly how they wanted to look at that goal weight. I've never once ever found that. I think when people hear that, they might get discouraged. They might think like, well, then what's the point at all? This isn't a nihilistic perspective. This is actually a very optimistic perspective, because now instead of just completely and utterly killing yourself in order to achieve this arbitrary number, now you can actually focus on the things that actually matter and that will help you achieve what you actually want, which isn't the number. The number isn't what you want. What you want is to look a certain way, to feel a certain way. The number is what you think is what you need in order to look and feel that way.
Right.
But it's not.
It's not. It's a great case in point when you see people post client pictures, like before and afters or whatever, and the weight is either the same or even in the after picture, it has gone up slightly, mm-hmm. but they look completely different.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same premise that you're chasing the look. Because it's what you and I say, people say they want weight loss, but really they want fat loss.
Correct.
They just don't know the terminology, the difference and whatever. But everyone really wants to look great and feel great.
So what do you say to someone who has those last few pounds to lose? And we'll stay, like, we'll go start to finish. Like, what do you say to someone who's struggling with this? Like, what's the first thing you put in their ear to get them to start thinking about a new way to approach this?
I ask them that question that you just posed. Like, how is your life going to be different 3 pounds from now,
mm-hmm.
or 2 pounds from now? And they really stop and have to think about that because they don't have an answer for
mm-hmm.
that. Because, well, they do. They know what the answer is. It's not going to be different.
Correct.
And so they have to pause and try to think of an answer. Maybe that's what they're doing. For a lot of people, that's a light bulb moment.
Yeah.
That alone will change how some people will start to think about it. But even then, even if they do start to say, yeah, you know, you're right, and they're opening themselves up to hearing an alternative, when you start talking about putting calories back in, it's like, oh, put on the brakes.
Yeah.
Put on the brakes. No. You know, and I understand that's scary, having gone through this. Yeah, I get that. That is kind of an unusual feeling, and especially knowing that, okay, you may see a little bit of a shift in the scale, but automatically people go to, holy shit, I've put on fat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fat.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and it's not, and getting them through that piece is really tough.
You know what's also interesting is, I'd say 95 to 97% of people respond, when you ask them, how is this going to make your life better? It's a huge light bulb moment, like you said.
Yeah.
There's a small percentage of people who will come up with reasons as to why their life will be better.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I'll be more confident. Well, I'll look better in my jeans or whatever it is. Those are actually two legitimate ones that I've heard before.
So they'll be more confident at 120, but not at 122.
That's exactly the conversation.
And unfortunately, and this is might be the sarcastic bitch in me, but I would probably push back and say that. So you're telling me that 120, you're going to be super confident when that number on the scale says that, and 122, you're not.
That's literally
crazy,
just got
right?
chilled, because that's exactly what I would have them do. But it's so funny when you make them speak it out loud.
Yes.
It's like, okay, so you tell me right now out of your mouth that at 120, you will be the most confident you've ever been, but at 123, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, that's when they're like, okay.
Backpedal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring that up just in case there are people in listening who are like, well, no, that's different. Like, I will be more confident. Or I will, like, feel better. It's like, you really have to hear this to understand that's not accurate. Now, also keep in mind, we're talking about people who have the last few pounds
mm-hmm.
to lose. We're not talking about if you've got 20 or 50 or 70 or 100, whatever it
right.
is. This is the people who they exercise oftentimes because they're scared of not exercising.
Yes.
They only eat quote unquote healthy foods because they're scared of not eating healthy foods. They're scared. Everything is done out of fear.
Everything. And yet it has really not gotten them where they need to go.
Exactly.
None of that.
So what's next? So now that you've gotten them to realize that that number one, this is an issue, and number two, that losing those 2.5 pounds isn't going to change their mindset completely, what do you do next?
Well, I like to talk to them about what maintenance actually is and what it's not.
So that's a good point. So what is maintenance?
I mean, it's where we live. Almost, we should be living all
should
the time.
Should be living, yeah.
Yeah. And I think when people hear that and they haven't reached that number yet, their grand number, they feel like it is, you know, the dunce prize or something. You know, I failed. I didn't get there. So, you know, I don't deserve to go to maintenance yet. I haven't earned the right to go to
Correct.
Maintenance yet, any of that. So we have to talk about that it's not, I'm not going to tell you to eat 300 calories a day more and pack on, you know, 5 more pounds and off you go, have a nice day, which I think that's what a lot of people think. I was having a discussion earlier today with somebody who was asking me about maintenance, actually. And I was telling her to add calories in over the course of a week. She missed that part. So she freaked out because she thought I said a day. She didn't read.
Yep.
And I said per week, over the course of the week. And I described then after that how you could do that. And how you don't need to fractionalize every day, but potentially pick a couple of days and add more calories in. So by the end of the week, you're in the plus column. But not by 1,000 calories, which is what people have in their heads.
Yes.
And that's just not what it is.
At all. And this could go into so many different directions from here. This is one of the reasons I really like calorie cycling.
Yeah.
Right? Because
yeah, for sure.
And if you like to eat the same number of calories every day, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
It's not worse or better. But I love calorie cycling because it sort of sets you up for maintenance, especially when you're coming from fat loss. And that's where most people, we were saying maintenance is where you should live. Most people live, unfortunately, in a fat loss mindset. This is where they are for the majority of their life. We need to shift that to sometimes you're in a fat loss mindset, but the majority of your life you're in a maintenance mindset. And I love calorie cycling from the perspective of some days you'll have higher calories, other days you'll have lower calories. And when you start shifting back towards maintenance, you just simply add a few calories onto your lower days already.
Yeah.
So you bring them up to, so it's easier to maintain now. It's not going into a massive surplus. It's not gaining 10 pounds in a month.
Yeah.
It's adding a little bit to make what you're doing more sustainable.
And I think people panic because they'll see the scale kind of go up a little bit here.
Which
and
is
there.
Normal.
Which it has to. I mean, of course, it makes perfect sense. Logically.
Exactly.
But emotionally, they it's the panic button, and then they want to reduce. And I think getting them over that hump and doing like what we did with our momentum guide in the inner circle, we talk about that in one of the videos that is in that guide extensively about what to expect.
Yeah.
And that's something huge. And not to panic, not to go back, not to reduce, stick it out because the scale's not going to go up to like 5,000 million pounds. You're going to be good.
Exactly.
It's going to go up just a teeny bit, and then it's going to start to stabilize a little bit. You're going to see it just hover around that one number, give or take a pound here or there.
So one thing that's important to clarify is you spoke about the momentum manual. One of the reasons Susan and I, and we spent a lot of time trying to come up with a name for this manual.
Yes, we did.
So when we were creating the we'll call it the maintenance manual, the manual in the inner circle that is specifically teaches the inner circle members how to transfer into and maintain maintenance, we realized we didn't want to call it maintenance.
Right.
Because when you hear that word maintenance, you have that fear that Susan was talking about, the fear of, well, if you haven't already achieved your goal, then you haven't deserved or earned the right to go into maintenance. And it's because of that name, maintenance. And so
it implies stagnation.
It implies stagnation. It's exactly right. It implies as though like you've achieved your goal, so now you can just coast.
Yeah.
Here's something really important to remember. I don't know a single person in the world who's been involved in fitness who's ever reached a point in which they've decided to stop achieving more goals.
Yeah.
I don't know a single person who's ever gotten to a point where like, you know, I'm good. That's it. It's like
done.
There's always something else to improve on. There's always whether it's fat loss, whether it's strength gain, whether it's chin-ups, whether it's deadlifts, whether it's muscle-ups, whether it's push-ups, whether it's nutrition, whatever it is, there's always something to improve. So rather than calling it maintenance, mm-hmm. Susan and I, we made it momentum.
Right.
Because when you're using it properly, the maintenance phase is actually a momentum phase in which you can build up more momentum. We can call it a diet break if you want mm-hmm. to, in which you can take a break physically, mentally, emotionally from being in fat loss and then transfer over back into fat loss or even muscle gain if you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I love that name, because it prepares you to go either direction,
mm-hmm.
whichever direction you want to go to. And I think that, I mean, it does matter what we say to ourselves.
Of course,
and
yeah,
I mean, it totally matters, and I think hearing maintenance, I think that is consciously or subconsciously something that eats away at people without really being fully aware of it. I think it just implies I'm not going anywhere, so now what do I do? What's my goal now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we also talk in that manual about how this is a great time now while you're in momentum to maybe be more focused on getting your chin-ups now in the gym, or your deadlift or a squat or whatever it is you want to try to do. Let's shift your focus to that and do whatever you have to do to get that.
I think it's so important, because usually when people are so focused on fat loss, this isn't always, and it's not inherent to fat loss, but usually when people are just always, for years and years and years, always trying to lose weight, but oftentimes not even achieving their goals, a lot of it's done out of fear. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's done out of being very scared of gaining weight or ruining all their progress. But when you switch your focus, like you were just saying, to getting a chin-up mm-hmm. or getting 10 chin-ups or increasing your deadlift or doing more push-ups or improving your mile time, like whatever it is, when you switch it to a performance-based goal, you start doing things because you love it, not because you're scared of not doing it. And that mindset shift of doing something because you're excited about it is so important relative to doing something because you're scared of not doing it.
It changes everything. Absolutely everything. And that mindset of doing something because you want to get that push-up or you want to get those chin-ups or whatever, focusing on that in that way bleeds over. It will just bleed over into everything else and will make when you decide which direction you want to go. It just puts everything in a different perspective mm-hmm. at that point.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that people should weigh themselves when they're going into maintenance, knowing that their weight will go up because it's not fat, it's just your weight will go up because you're putting more food in your body, obviously. Do you think people should weigh themselves?
Yeah, I completely do, for that reason. I think they need to see that just because you're in maintenance doesn't mean the scale's going to sit. No one can see this, but I'm doing a complete horizontal line. I mean, the scale's not going to sit on 150 while you're in maintenance.
Right.
I mean, it's just not going to sit there. And if you still get wigged out by the scale, then you still need to probably step on it and see that even in, quote, maintenance, it is still fluctuating, because these fluctuations, like you and I talk about daily, are based around water more than anything
mm-hmm.
else.
And
you still have water while you're in maintenance, so it's still going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But just maybe not as wildly as they had.
It was so funny. I don't know if you saw on my Instagram post today, I was talking about what you and I talk about all the time, the importance of tracking consistency as opposed to your weight. And still track your weight, but base your success off of your consistency. Because you can control your consistency. That's 100% your control. You cannot control your weight.
100%.
And one of the comments, someone goes in the comments section, and they say, actually, you can control your weight. And I replied, if you can tell me what your weight will be every day for the next 30 days, I will give you $10,000. And there's no reply.
Of course not.
No, and maybe there is now. I haven't checked since. But I saw no reply. And the reality is, the reason this is so important is because even if you're in a deficit, your weight will fluctuate
mm-hmm.
up. Even if you're in a calorie surplus, your weight will have fluctuations down.
Mm-hmm.
When you know more than anyone,
yes.
you've been a surplus for about 5 months now.
Six months now.
Yeah. You gained about 5 pounds.
I was knocking on the six.
So per month, an average about a pound a month or so. And there were times where it would go down for a long time.
I would take big steep down, and then I would have spikes up. Just like
fat loss.
Exactly.
So I love that you're just so adamant about it. Yes, weigh yourself. Now, obviously, if you have a disordered relationship with the scale,
right,
then don't weigh yourself.
For now.
Agreed.
For now.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Eventually, I think that the best bet is to be able to weigh yourself without fear of it. Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate. In the same way that I think the ultimate form of eating is intuitive eating, where you don't need to track every calorie, but to try and just push someone directly into intuitive eating without ever having tracked their calories, it doesn't make sense because they'll intuitively eat fucking Papa John's. It's just, that's just not how it works. So when you go into maintenance, track your weight, if for nothing else, just so you can see your trend. You can see how it fluctuates as you increase your food slightly. It's also a really good measure. If your weight goes up over the course of a month by like 7 or 8 pounds, you probably added too many calories back in your diet.
Yeah.
Or maybe you should increase your activity, walk another 15, 20 minutes a day, whatever it is.
Yeah, it may not be much. But, you know, even if the weight does go up a little bit more or whatever, it's not one of those, see, I knew this was going to happen.
I've never heard that voice before. I like that one. No. You got to bring that one into your videos.
I will. I'll have to.
I told you I was going to gain weight.
You know, it's not that. You also know what to do. Mm-hmm. It's not like now we're in a big mystery and now we don't know how to handle it.
Yep.
You slightly reduce the calories. So it's a no-lose proposition here. You know, it's just, it can be scary because if you spend your whole life trying to get that scale to go down and then you turn around, and this is where I can totally relate,
mm-hmm.
and then you turn around and you're watching it go up purposefully,
mm-hmm.
That is not easy. But I do think that if I stopped stepping on that scale, that would have been the worst thing I could have done.
Yeah.
Absolutely the worst thing I could have done.
We also have to talk about, there are some people who spent their entire life trying to lose fat, and they've never achieved their goal. We have to talk about why.
Yeah.
Like, why have you spent your entire life, or a vast majority of your life, trying to lose fat, and have never been able to achieve your goal, no matter what diet you did, no matter how few calories you ate? We have to discuss this, and this is a very uncomfortable discussion, but it's important to have. And the first and foremost thing to really point out here is that if you've spent the vast majority of your life constantly trying to lose fat and you haven't been able to do it, odds are you are among the 97% of people who've done the same and have consistently yo-yoed back and forth between doing something very restrictive and then saying, screw it, I quit, and then eating way more calories, gaining a lot of your weight back, and going between that.
Yeah, that's, yeah. And I think another uncomfortable part of that is, gotta have to step up and take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And until that happens, and not the victim mentality either, nothing works for me, I don't know how, I can't, I'm not motivated, none of that. Taking responsibility and taking the bull by the horns and finally sticking with something and seeing something through, instead of blaming your age, you know, hormones, whatever, menopause, whatever, blaming all those things that I blamed for years and years and years. You know, and I look back from a personal perspective and think, Jesus, just think where I'd be right now.
Yeah.
I mean, if maybe I could have caught all this back in my 30s, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy. I will say this, because I truly thought I was doing everything right.
Yeah.
You know, and I look back on that, and I'm thinking, how could I have thought that? But I did. And I truly thought I was doing everything right. So I understand, you're in the moment, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard, but that doesn't mean you can't do it.
100%.
I never had anyone push me to get out of this little circle that I was floating in for 30 years, you know? And I think that was super important. That's what changed it, you know, when you started kicking me. But, I mean, it is. It's something that you've been doing your whole life. It is scary. So I relate to that, and my heart goes out to people like that because it's not easy to accept that emotionally. But I think people just, they throw up their hands.
Yeah.
And it's like, you got to stop throwing up your hands.
You know what's so interesting, though? They throw up their hands, and that's okay. But the idea of going into a maintenance or momentum phase is the scariest thing in the world.
Yeah.
When this is really important. People are more okay with just calling it quits altogether than they are with saying, you know what, I'm going to purposefully and deliberately slightly increase my calories to maintain the weight I'm at, when if they'll go the other way and they'll just eat whatever they want and just like call it quits and gain a ton of weight back.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't you just take a break?
Yeah.
Just take a break for a month. And all of a sudden when you just pause and take a break and you don't go, as Mike would say, full shithead mode.
Yeah.
You don't just eat as much as you want of whatever you want. You just take a planned break. It's your progress would be so much better,
mm-hmm.
because at least now you're keeping track still. You're not just calling it quits. You're keeping track. You still know how many you're eating. It's more than you would need if you want to lose fat, but it's less than you're eating if you're just going off and doing whatever
and
you want.
I think people can't get beyond the slight increase mm-hmm. in weight. That signifies I'm losing my progress. All that I worked for and I beat myself up over is I'm throwing to shit right now with these 2 pounds.
Which is funny because they can't get over the slight weight gain. So instead what they'll do is they will not weigh themselves at all
mm-hmm.
and just eat a lot and gain a lot of weight. And they just choose not to look at the scale.
Or stay in that deficit and kill themselves to get these 2 pounds off and be miserable for another 30 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a bad place to be. I think the probably the most mature decision someone can make is to go into a momentum phase.
100%.
That if you really want to be an adult about it and to make a mature decision, it's taking a minute to think about, okay, what's the right thing to do? I've been trying and trying and trying and trying and killing myself and guilting myself and shaming myself and hating myself, and it's not working. To try and keep doing it over and over again is mm-hmm. literally the definition of insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make the right move. Let's take a month and just go into momentum and just try that and see
yep.
how it works. And the cool part is, if worse comes to worse, then you wasted a month and you can go back to doing the same stuff you were doing before.
And, you know, it's interesting. I think people would view that as a waste, but I don't think it really is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get information from that too.
Everything.
Everything. And that's another mindset shift.
Yeah.
Is to learn from it all.
Absolutely. And having the optimistic mindset, even from something that doesn't go your way.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the best lessons I learned growing up. My mom, one of my first internships, I interned at a physical therapy place. My mom, I'll never forget this. She was like, you should be a physical therapy. You should be in physical therapy because with the baby boomers, you'll never be out of a job. And I was in high school. I was a young, young, young kid, so I wasn't thinking about that stuff at all. But she was like, you'll never be out of a job, so you should do physical therapy. So I went and got a physical therapy internship when I was in high school. And I just vividly remember being like, this sucks. Like, I hate this. I hate being in this environment. I'd rather be in a more performance-based environment. And my mom said, she was like, well, good, learning what you don't want to do is equally as important as learning what you do want to do.
Amen.
And I think so many people, when they have a quote-unquote bad experience or something doesn't go their way, it's just all negative and pessimistic and, oh, well, that sucks. It was a waste of time. It's like, you're wasting more time complaining about it.
Yeah.
Like, at least you learned from it, or hopefully you did, and you can move forward.
Yeah. Learning what you don't like is every bit as important as learning what you like.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is. And that may be how you cycle your calories. Maybe you prefer the jab versus weekend warrior. Maybe you learn stuff. Weekend warrior just didn't work for me at all. Okay, great. Then I know I like this better.
Mm-hmm.
Both equally valuable.
I'm doing the carnivore diet right now, and I hate every minute of it. But it's worth it. Because at least now I'll have more insight into it. I'll be able to give more valuable opinions on it. And it's one thing to think you know. It's another thing to
yeah.
know you know.
Yeah.
If you just think you know you shouldn't be in maintenance or momentum, but you've never actually tried it for at least 2 weeks, 3 weeks, four
mm-hmm.
weeks, then you don't know.
Yeah.
You have no clue what you're talking about. And if you're just sitting there convincing yourself, you know what, I'm not going to try it because I don't deserve to be there yet or I'm scared, then you are fooling yourself.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. The more you know.
The more you know.
The more you know.
So what else is going on, Susan?
Well, we got some filming to do.
We're going
to
go film. Yeah. We're going to do the Inner Circle edition filming. Let's see. Is there anything else? Is everything good with your training?
Well, not within the last week, no.
Just you got sick.
Yeah, boy, was I sick. Yeah, it will be.
It will be.
It will be. Starting tomorrow.
Starting tomorrow, back to training?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
What time do you get back home tomorrow?
Midday.
Okay, all right, got it.
Early afternoon, yeah, so I'm good.
All right. Susan, yeah. Can you tell everyone where they can follow you?
Sure. On Instagram, Susan Ebergall Fitness. It's Susan Ebergall Fitness everywhere, so I'll just save you all
you
the time.
You gotta spell it. Spell it.
Yeah, this is very important. NIEBERGALL. Susan, not Suzanne.
It's so funny. The number of people who think that Susan's name is Suzanne Bergall is it. I feel like it increases by the day. And because I've seen so many people do it, now I read your name as Suzanne Bergall on Instagram. But it's Susan Niebergall Fitness.
We don't know where the first and last name kind of blend together.
And do you have anything big coming up on YouTube or anything?
Yeah. Doing a big muscle gain phase summary.
Very cool.
Yeah. That's going to be a big one.
About 6 pounds in 6 months.
Yeah. And I'm the good, bad, and the ugly.
I love that.
All of it. Yeah.
And your YouTube is Susan Niebergall Fitness.
Susan Niebergall Fitness. Yep.
I love it. Yep. Amazing. Well, I love you.
I love you too.
I will turn this off and then we will go do our Inner Circle filming.
There you go.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Zayat Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. They've been helping a lot. And that's it. I'll see you next time.